1 Corinthians chapter 2. Would you read it with me from verse 9? But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Hallelujah. Things that God has prepared for you that love Him. Hello. Things that God has prepared for you that love Him. How many of you know your love for Him gets tested? Your love for Him gets tested. What's He trying to do? Get you in a position so He can give you the fullness of the price that He's paid for you. It says that they do not know, those that don't love Him don't know those things that God has prepared for them. But those that love Him know those things that God has prepared for them. Hallelujah. So your love for Him gets tested, doesn't it? In verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His what? Spirit. His what? Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God. So He's trying to bring you into another arena of relationship with Him. He does that by testing you. Now, what's He testing? Your trust. Is everybody with me? See, He tests. Listen, if you trust someone, you love someone. Everybody got it? I mean, there's a relationship in there. There are many attributes to love. One of them is trust. Now, the Bible says that God loves us, but I can tell you this. He doesn't trust us. That's a different kind of love, isn't it? That's unconditional. Does everybody understand that? So listen, there are things that God has prepared for me and you who love Him. They're revealed through His love. Because it's revealed to you through His Spirit. He loves me and you unconditionally, doesn't He? There are things that are being revealed to me and you, but let me share with you, there is a place and position where you begin to love Him more than you. These are the things that become reality of the Spirit in us and through us. This is why He tests our trust. Why? Because He wants to give you more things. He wants to bring you to this other level where you've never been before. And in these last days, you and I must come to another level where trust is the ultimate goal in your life, is to have God's trust in you. Does everybody understand that? We must come to a place where God totally trusts us in every area of our life. So tonight's teaching is called Testing Your Trust 2, which we're taking off from last Tuesday. Now, I want to go back to this again. In verse 11, would you read it with me? For what man knows the things of a man except the what? Spirit of a man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So, if only the Spirit of God knows the things of God, if you're in love with Him and you're earning His trust, He's going to begin to release more things to you. See, because you actually trust Him because you love Him. In other words, you're willing to do whatever it takes. Because there's a love affair, not just some kind of religious relationship. There's a love affair. And in this love affair, He begins to reveal more and more of His deep things of Him. What's He trying to really do? Not is He trying to get something to you. What He's trying to do is get Himself to you, in you, and through you. Is everybody with me? That's what, see, do you understand? He's trying to manifest His character in us so that others will see Christ in you. Oh, hallelujah. Now, verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, which is the Antichrist spirit, which means comes against the anointing, the presence of God, the move of God, and the truth. But the Spirit who is from God, that we might what? Know, come on, read this with me. Know the things that have been freely given to us by, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Freely given to these things are brought to you because you love Him. See, there's a lot of people say, I love God, but they're not obedient. That's why they're still carnal. There's people that pray in the Spirit and do all kinds of stuff. Oh, they'll come and pay part of their tithe. Because they love God. But they don't really love God. They use God. Because those who are obedient love Him. Those who put Him first before everything love Him. Those are the ones that God reveals His hidden mysteries. Those are the ones that God reveals and releases more of His character into their life because it's all around love. But what's He doing? He's testing your trust. See, because if you can't trust Him, He can't trust you. And when you begin to lose God's trust, He begins to lose, other things. He begins to remove certain things. Certain areas where you were supposedly faithful and you're no longer faithful, you begin to find that they begin to fade away. Amen? They begin to fade. If a child has a toy and begins to abuse the toy gets taken away, doesn't it? Amen? Why? Because they've lost the trust, haven't they? Oh, hallelujah. Verse 13. Read it with me. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the what? Holy Spirit teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So the Holy Spirit is the teacher. He's going to bring you into all things, but there first must be this love. Love is the ultimate. Without love, there is nothing. In fact, if the Bible says even if you move in the gifts and you do all kinds of things, if it's done with love, it don't mean nothing. So you've got to maintain a love affair in this relationship with the Lord. There must be love. You don't do things just because the Word says to do them. Now you may start your walk that way. That's discipline. That's okay. Those are borders that God gives you to walk. But if you trample those borders, that's called law. See, when you and I are first saved, believe it or not, you're under the law. Grace is earned. Is everybody with me? Because the law is the tutor, and the Spirit is the mentor. See, what you're doing is, the tutor is the more of the law. So you're always hearing, don't do this, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do this. Is everybody with me? Then eventually you hear, follow me. Follow me. Come this way. See, because now the barriers have been opened, everything is made broader now because He can trust you to come out. See, but when you blow it, He puts you right back into that little fence. It's called the law. Those are those barriers. Until you earn His trust again. Then those barriers come down, then He knows He can trust you. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, not in man's wisdom, nor understanding. But what the Holy Spirit teaches, and He compares spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. See, the carnal man can't get it. The carnal mind can't get it. It can read, study the Bible for 50 years and still not get it. Because there must be relationship with the Holy Spirit and must be in love. But the natural mind does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually what? Discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So the mind of Christ is the Holy Spirit. So there must be a relationship with the Holy Spirit to understand the mind of Christ. And it must be in love. Now I said all that. Hallelujah. I wasn't even going to the scripture, but I was led to. To bring us to the understanding that where God wants to put us is totally into a position where there's pure love, where there's pure trust, where there's pure surrender. Three things. Pure love, pure trust, and pure surrender. Go to John 15. Testing your trust. That's what he's doing. John 15. Starting at verse 1, would you read it with me? I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And we know pruning is part of like squeezing. Amen? Purifying, cleansing. He says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you in verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, and the branch cannot, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. You can tell someone who's not been abiding too well. Their fruits stink. They justify and use every kind of excuse. Our fruits stink. They justify their actions and their decisions, but they're not godly ones. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and all shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So God wants us to bear more fruit, doesn't he? Pruning. Pruning is an area where it's manifested in our life by chastening, and we talked about this already. Chastening is what causes pruning. Trials cause pruning. How many of y'all know waiting causes pruning? What's it for? To perfect, to humble, to expand your abilities, and to expose your sin. And of course, to strengthen us. God is testing your trust. Remember, the devil tempts, but God tests. We talked about this before. We're always connected to the wilderness. You're either going in, you're in, or you're coming out. You are always connected to the wilderness. Why? Because it's a part of your testing. It's a part of your life. You're either going in, or you're coming out. That's your life. While you're on this side of the planet, you are always attached and connected to the wilderness. That's how God continues to prune you. So he's testing you. Why? What is he doing? You are earning his trust, so he must continually to test your trust. The Bible says, for much is given, much is what? Required. Accountable. You know, because God has given you much doesn't mean that you lay it down. You got to understand something. All the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that God has given you, especially some of you who have been through the discipleship program and all kinds of stuff, you are accountable for a lot more than others because you know much more. And the devil will try to slowly squeeze everything of truth out of you, turn it into deceptive seeds, corruptible seeds. So that you begin to walk away from the truth, harden heart, and the conviction is no longer felt. We are always connected to the wilderness. He wants to trust you to give you more. All tests are to earn trust. Let me share with you a couple things. We are tested so we don't repeat the same sin. We are tested in what we say. We're even tested in what we believe. Why? Because he's testing you to earn trust. He tests you of what you hear, what you listen to. He tests every choice that you make is a test. He tests your obedience. He tests your stewardship. Believe me, he knows whether you're holding back or not. You can justify up here all you want, but he knows what you do behind closed doors. And it will always be exposed. Always. He tests your sufferings. He tests your remembrance of the great things he's done in your life. He wants to know if you're still going to go to those areas or not when trials and tribulations come. Where are you going to go? Are you going to run to the world or are you going to run to me? Are you going to run towards all the things that the devil has told you about? Are you going to act or react? You're going to react the same things that a carnal man, or you're going to act like a new one? Amen. All of these things God tests us for. Go to Job chapter 2. Now let me tell you the great tests in Job chapter 2. What is God doing with us? You know, many of his disciples started off pretty rough, didn't they? And they began to learn. Jesus rebuked them and all kinds of stuff. Sometimes even humiliated some of them because of what some of the things that they had done. But he was chastening them, and chastening is an area where we learn. Without chastening, there is no learning. Amen? And those are areas where God tests us. He tries to put us in a position where we are exposed so that he can expand our abilities, so that we can bear more fruit. You are earning his trust. There is testing of your trust. The more you trust him, the more he trusts you. And that's all done in what you do. Every decision, every reaction, every action, everything you do in your life on this side is going to be decided whether you trust him or not. And there are many people that go, yeah, I trust God. I do this. I do that. You know what? They don't trust God. Many people do not trust God. In Job chapter 2. Is everybody there? Okay, I'll get there. Job chapter 2. One of the things that God tests, oh, are you ready for this? Is your integrity. He tests your integrity. You know, you may not do the right thing all the time. You know what I'm saying? You may make mistakes. But what he does is test your integrity. He wants to know. Because that's what he looks for. Integrity. He's not looking for perfect. He's looking for integrity. Well, let me share with you about this. In Job chapter 2, starting at verse 1, would you read it with me? Again, there was a day when the sons of God, those were angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, from where did you come? Like he didn't know. See, God tests everybody. You going to lie again to me, Satan? I love it. He did that to Adam in the garden. Adam was hiding. He said, where are you, Adam? Like he didn't know. You know. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, from where did you come? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? And still he holds fast to his what? Integrity, although you enticed me against him to destroy him without cause. So Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. You know how many people do? They don't realize it. They curse God to his face. They curse right to his face. They don't even realize it. They just say, I don't believe. I don't believe. That curses God right to his face. I just don't believe. You know, I'm going to share something with you in another deeper arena. Do you know that disobedience, when you say no to God, you say, I don't believe, and you curse him to his face? Because what you've done is turn your face from his. He's testing our integrity. Now, in verse 7. Oh, in verse 6. So the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Ooh, chihuahua. Then his wife said to him, now here's Job out there scraping these scabs off. Right? I mean, you know how many people, they curse God because they get upset, they get sick. Oh, Lord, what happened to your promises? Ooh. What happened to your respect? What happened to your trust? So he's out there scraping his scabs off of him. And of course, his little wifey came out. And then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Ooh. She must have known Eve. It was a repeat, wasn't it? She said, curse God and die. Why put up with all this stuff? Curse God and die. Just forget it. What was she trying to do? The devil was using you to try to what? The devil was using her to cause him to curse God, to turn away from his trust in him. Isn't that what he tries to do to all of us? He tries to turn us away from the trust in the Lord. So she comes out and says, listen, why don't you just curse God and die, man? Forget this stuff. Put that thing down. Quit scraping. You're making a mess in the living room. Who's going to pick up all this stuff? Curse God and die. In verse 10, but he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? In other words, when things are going good. And shall we not accept adversity? Why? Because he was trusting God. In all this, Job did not sin with his what? Lips. Sure, he had a few thoughts that he was struggling with, but he didn't let them come out of his mouth. You know, people just let loose with their mouth. The devil stands there and beats them up then. God tests our integrity. Is everybody with me? Let me share with you a little bit about integrity. Integrity is steadfast adherence to strict moral and ethic code. There's a moral and ethic code of integrity where that's established with a love affair with God Almighty. And only established. Those who cannot walk this type of ethic or have integrity in this arena because they do not have a true relationship, love affair with God Almighty. They play religion. And God is bringing his church out of this into a love affair with him because he's coming back for a bride. Not a broad. Hallelujah. A bride. Cleansed. Pure. Not a harlot. A bride. A bride that can trust him. You know, marriages. Terrible marriages. Are ones that can't trust one another. What a terrible way to be married. Where are you going? Man, don't you trust God? I'm going to the bathroom. I mean, I have been around people that were so jealous of one another. It is incredible. That's no trust at all. You know, that shows the relationship with Dad. No trust. I mean, you got to use wisdom, you know what I'm saying, in things, but man, what a terrible way to be married, to not be able to trust one another. It's torment. It's fear. It's a terrible way to be married. So the first, there's a couple of things I'm going to talk about integrity. It's steadfast adherence to strict moral and ethic code according to God. It's a state of being unimpaired. You are sound. Does everybody understand that? You are sound. You're sound. You're solid. So everybody come up to you and say, hey, solid, man. You know, I'm solid. You know, in other words, we're solid. You know, we're tight. People will go around, oh, I'm bad. Or they say, my bad. You better break that curse off you. Because my bad ain't bad. He's right. I'm blessed.
My bad.
How about forgive me? Sorry. People going around calling each other dogs. Yo, you dog, man. Yeah, get behind me, man. Yo, dog. Yeah. Hallelujah. Real integrity. Call somebody a dog. State of being an unimpaired, sound. Quality or condition of being whole or complete. In other words, moral soundness. A quality or a condition of being whole or complete. In other words, you are complete with Him. You are complete in Him. Fourth one is a place where truth and holiness is respected. Truth and holiness is respected. The first one is steadfast adherence to strict moral and ethical code. The second one is a state of being unimpaired soundness. You're sound, you're solid. The third one is a quality or condition of being whole or complete, moral soundness. The fourth one is a place where truth and holiness is respected. In other words, you respect it no matter what. You honor it. Go to Job 31. Testing your integrity is testing your trust. Job 31 and verse 5. If I have walked with falsehood, or if my foot has hastened to deceit, let me be weighed on honest scales, that God may know my what? Integrity. Wow. Honesty with God, self, and others. Whew. That's one of the fruits of integrity. Honest with God, self, and others. Go to Psalm chapter 7. Man, do you ever get around someone, man, they could talk to you face to face, everything sounds beautiful, but you just know they're not right. And they may even have, some of the fruits may even show good, but they're just not fruity. They're not something you want to eat. It's like an apple that's not ripe yet. You know, some of the fruit. It's just like, man, you know, everything sounds good. There's some fruit there, but it's not right. Just not right. It's because the integrity of that individual, there is none. They're untrustworthy. You don't know whether they're going to come and go. Sometimes you don't know what their next move will be. Sometimes they'll just move. Only by the Spirit do you know. You don't know, they could sit at your table and betray you. Because of lack of love with God and no integrity. Psalm 7. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 6, sorry. Arise, O Lord, in your anger, lift yourself up because of the rage of my enemies. Rise up for me to the judgment you have commanded. So the congregation of the people shall surround you for their sakes, therefore return on high. The Lord shall judge the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity within me. God tests our integrity. He said, test me. Check my integrity out. You know, people who do not go to God and say, test me, are not right with God. Because someone that really loves the Lord will go to the Lord and be willing to receive chastening, be willing to receive counsel, correction, and direction. They're willing to. Many people run because the answer is no. See, they want to do it their way because they're bound by that independent spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 25. And an independent spirit is the spirit of Antichrist. I don't know why we're going there, but I guess we have. In verse 20 to 22, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Then what does he say? Let integrity of righteousness preserve me, for I wait for you. Now all those things are what we were just talking about, wasn't it? It's part of testing your trust. He tests your trust to see where your integrity is also. Let's read it together again. He said, starting in verse 20, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my what? Trust in you. Let integrity, uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Ooh. Powerful. Integrity and righteousness preserve me as I wait for you. Integrity and righteousness will preserve me as I wait for you, not moving, but becoming steadfast. An individual with integrity will not be moved. Stand for what is truly right and pure. An individual of integrity. God tests our trust by testing our integrity. He wants to find out where you are. But of course, he knows where you are. He wants you to know where you are. He's looking for someone that will have integrity, that will stand, will not waver, no matter what comes across their path. No but ministry. Amen? Psalm 26, while we're here. First three verses, read it with me. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not what? Slip. Examine me. Now here's an individual that's saying, man, check me out, Lord. Show me what my stuff is. Because I want to be honest before you. And if I'm not honest before you, I want you to expose it. Because if I can't be honest with you, I can't be honest with myself and nobody else. Examine me. Please search me through, so that my fruits will bear fruit for your glory. Prune me. Melt me. Mold me. Put me on a potter's wheel. Kill me. Do whatever you gotta do so that I will bear fruit and others will know that I am your disciple. Let the integrity of your throne room manifest in me, that I will walk in your character according to how you created man from the beginning. Remember, God has redeemed us in the arena to be in his image and likeness. So we must cooperate with the regeneration of the Holy Spirit so that the character of Christ can be manifest in us, that we become men and women of integrity, of truth and purity, where wisdom is manifested, where when you are tempted, you'll have dominion, where you walk away, you shun evil. You won't be moved by the dictates and briberies of the world. But you'll have the integrity that's pleasing to God. Because that's the bottom line, isn't it? Whether you are pleasing to God or not. Oh, hallelujah. Did we read this yet? Oh, examine me. Verse 2. Examine me, O Lord, in what? Prove me. Come on, read this with me. Let's start at verse 1. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. Oh, I wonder how many people go to the Lord and say this. Good morning, Lord. I need this, this, that, and then I'll see you later. Thanks. Oh, bless this person, bless that person. Oh, heal this person and heal that person. Oh, yeah. Well, me and you, well, you know. It's like writing the letter to Santa Claus and asking for wishes. Verse 3. For your loving kindness is before my eyes. Oh, what? I mean, come on, what's the Spirit talking about tonight? Now he talks about love. See, all of this is established because there is a love affair. Not a religious affair. A love affair. For your loving kindness is before my eyes. And I've walked in your truth. I have not sat with adulterous mortals. I've not sat with adulterous mortals. Whew. Why, he considered himself a son of God. He separated himself from the ways of man, mortal men. Nor will I go with hypocrites, the ones that stand before you and say all kinds of things that are trying to please you, where they try to manipulate you, they try to justify, they try to hide their bad fruits. But you can see that tail waggling. And the horn's coming up. The dragon tail. I have hated the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I will have no fellowship with them. I will stand firm and steadfast in the integrity of the traditions that I have learned and walk upright according to the will of my Father. Walking in integrity is trusting in the Lord. You trust him, he trusts you. Go to Proverbs 10. You know, one of the things God tests us with is not only what we speak, but when we speak. When we speak. Believe me, there's many times I want to say something. Ooh, especially when I see something. And I know something. But he doesn't let me speak. When he doesn't let me speak, I know he's going to take care of it and expose it. Proverbs 10, in verse 8, I believe. Would you read it with me? The wise in the heart will receive commands. Oh, check that out. The wise in the heart will receive commands. Receive commands from who? From the Lord. So the bonehead in heart will reject the commands from the Lord. Right? But a prating fool will what? Fall. Calls him a fool. He who walks with integrity walks securely. Some people, you know, people take that wrong sometimes. They take that wrong. You know, things, the Bible talks about all kinds of things falling all around you, but you stand strong. There's many people going, come to me, man, what are you going to do about this? I don't know, but I will. It's not my business nor my ministry. I have nothing to do with it. My purpose is to have a love affair with him and walk in the integrity that is pleasing to him. Everything else he takes care of. He gives me a responsibility. I take care of the responsibility. If I go beyond that, I pick up burdens. It'll interfere with your integrity. Because additional burdens bring you in the flesh. Those are things that the devil loves to put on us. If people become busybodies, they're so busy in other people's bodies, they can't get their self straight. Their eyes lose focus. And they lose sight of the love affair with God. And they begin to have a love affair with a vehicle or a paycheck. They have a lust affair with the opposite sex. Things that are looking for fulfillment. It's just temporary. Integrity will run from those things. It won't touch those. Walks away. Denies self. Proverbs 11. In verse 2. Ooh, let's start at verse 1. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord. But a just weight is His what? Delight. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is what? Wisdom. The integrity of the upright will what? Guide them. Well, why are so many individuals misguided? Amen. No integrity. But the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath. But righteousness delivers from death. Praise God. Yeah, you can't buy your way out of that day. It ain't going to work. Go to Proverbs 19. You know, if you know something causes you to stumble, then you should have nothing to do with it. If you know something, and I'm not talking about going out and using drugs or whatever, I'm talking about put you in the flesh. You should have nothing to do with it. Where did I say to go? Proverbs 19? Start at verse 1. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity, the one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. He said, man, it's better to have no money at all, be poor, but have integrity. Then they have money. Surobokoso shaklia. Then they have money and be miserable. You know, most of the time, people who have a lot of stuff are trying to keep it anyways. You know what I'm saying? They're so busy trying to keep it. They don't have time to tithe. They don't have time to fellowship. They don't have time to get fed. They don't have time to pray. They just don't have time. Because they're so busy trying to keep what doesn't belong to them. They'll reveal a person's integrity. Let's go on. What verse are we on? 2. Also, it is not good for a soul to be without knowledge, and he sins who hastens with his feet. The foolishness of a man twists his way, and his heart frets against the Lord. Go to Proverbs 20. The Proverbs are powerful. And verse 6. No. Yeah, that'll work. Verse 5. I like this one. Would you read it with me? Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. But a man of understanding will what? Draw it out. He'll know the counsel of the Lord. Most men will proclaim each his own goodness. But who can find a faithful man? That's powerful. Because an individual with integrity is faithful. When he says something, he'll do it. He'll mean it. Doesn't mean that things won't hinder sometimes, but he's faithful. He's faithful. He'll complete. He'll complete vows. He'll complete what he's committed to. He's faithful. This is powerful. Most men will proclaim each his own goodness. Hi, I'm good at this. I'm good at that. Right. I just can't show up to do it. Well, I'll show up sometimes, but I won't show up the rest. You know. Integrity, there is none. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Praise God. So we see there are attributes to integrity, isn't there? Brings blessing on your children. Go to Titus chapter 2. What's God testing you with? Titus chapter 2 and verse 6. Likewise, exhort the young men to be what? Sober-minded. I'm glad everybody's there saying this with me. Let's read this again. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is in a what? Opponent may be what? Ashamed. Why? Because the enemy is always trying to come against you. Having nothing evil to say of you, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back. Not what? Pilfering, but showing good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Stay focused on Him. Jesus walked in great integrity. He was complete. Isaiah 33, verse 15. He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressions, who gestures with his hands, refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from seeing evil, he will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him. His water will be sure. That's an individual of integrity. Does everybody see that? Oh, hallelujah. Who stops his ears, who refuses bribes. You know how many people get moved out of position because of money? Those are bribes. Does everybody understand that? They're bribes. Somebody offers you more money? Those are bribes. Bribes. You know. Hey man, why don't you come and work for me? I give you more money, man. Yeah. He's bribing. Hey, it's okay. We're on the same team. Give me a high five. Right. No integrity. A man of no integrity. This is what the Word talks about, integrity. Work of righteousness and peace. No bribes. Upright. Steadfast because of a love affair with God. You know, how many times have you done something, you know? Man, I shouldn't have done that. You know, I shouldn't have done that. And you repent quickly. That's good to repent quickly. That shows that you're in love. Does everybody understand that? Shows it, man. It's not because the lightning bolt's going to come and fry you. It's because you love him. Sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Man, there's days when I do the stupidest thing. And I'm repenting for days over this thing. Because I want to make sure I'm cleared and I'm clean. I remember one time I grieved the Holy Spirit. Man, 3 days I wept. Every time I thought about it, I began to weep. It wasn't anything bad I did, but because of my closeness with him, I knew better. And it wasn't anything. It was just somebody offering me money. And I didn't take it. I wasn't being bribed. God was trying to help me. And I quenched the Holy Spirit. He wanted to know why I rejected his help. Ooh. Hallelujah. I was a baby in Christ. I wanted more. That wasn't enough. Convicted me of greed. wept for 3 days. I was only about a year and a half old. I didn't realize it was him trying to help me. Because I wanted to stand on what I thought I should have received. I was trying to sell a car. And an angel of the Lord came to give me all the money I wanted, but what I wanted. I was tested. Then he left and disappeared. Then I got convicted. And I wept. I repented for greed for 3 days. When I did, because I didn't trust him. I thought, but this is what I want. If it's God, it should come this way. No. Oh, doesn't always happen that way. Come on, I got all the money you need, but this is what I'm willing to give you, he kept telling me. Yeah, but it's worth this. I had a 46 Chrysler limo. He kept telling me, but it's worth, I kept saying, it's worth this. I was thinking about all this money I needed to have because I was in debt and all kinds of other stuff. I was carnal bonehead, taken out of position in the spirit. Began to all of a sudden think of my own reasoning and what I needed and whatever. And he kept looking at me going, what's the matter with you? I mean, that was the intent, that was the expression I was getting from this angel. What's the matter with you? And then all kinds of things were kind of bringing confusion around me. And he took off. Then I found out on my way home. I said, Lord, was that really you? Yes. Oh, presence left. 3 days. Oh, sorry. Wept, cried, everything. All because of greed. Let me tell you something. Greed will move you right out. Greed, when there's dealings of money and stuff involved, I walk away. Forget it. This is what God gave me. That's it. People fight over, stab each other in the back for greed. It's the destroyer of integrity. Depart from it. Psalm 15. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for exposing our garbage. Psalm 15, would you read it with me? Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. You know how many people can't speak the truth in their own heart? They lie to themselves. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, whose eyes are vile, a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money for usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved, because there is integrity involved there. Speaks. Go to Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16, verse 19. Everybody there? Oh, hallelujah. You shall not pervert justice, you shall not show partiality, nor take a bribe. For a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. You ever talk to someone and all of a sudden what you just said, they repeat it back to you? And that's not what I said at all. Because they're so blinded. You know what I'm saying? They're so blinded, they've taken a bribe. And they're so blinded, they twist everything you say. It's not what I said. Yeah, well, you... Man, that's not what I said. Come out. It's amazing how many times the words get twisted. You shall follow what is altogether just, that you may live and inherit the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Don't accept a bribe. Don't let your character become defiled because of money. Many come out of ministry, marriages, because of bribes that I've taken. And they live in torment because they know they're not fulfilling what God has called them to do. They justify by preaching to others, but yet they can't walk upright themselves. They feel good because they just shared Jesus with someone. Then they go home and speak nasty to their children and nasty to their wives, and they justify it. And they beat the dog. Poor dog. Hey, if a donkey can speak to a person, so can a dog. Hallelujah. Go to Exodus 18. Verse 19. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel and God will be with you. He says, I will give you counsel and God will be with you. You know how many people reject counsel? Is God with them? No. He said, if you accept counsel, God will be with you. Oh, listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws and show them the way in which they must walk and work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men or women, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Some people can't even rule one himself. And let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. We know Moses was listening to his father-in-law. He was taking counsel from his father-in-law. And his father-in-law was telling him, listen, man, this is too much of a burden on you there, Mosey. Listen what the Lord's got to tell you. And share with them, come on, let's get some judges here. But get for yourself men of truth, men of integrity. Every officer in the body of Christ, every pastor looks for men of integrity and women of integrity that they can trust, because there's such a big job to do. There's so much to do. They look for those of integrity that can walk in like-mindedness. Walk in the same character, that we may be the examples of Christ in all things. Get some men of integrity, that they may be selected. Hey, they don't have to be perfect, but they got to be honest. They got to be honest with themselves and with others. Someone you can trust. There may be somebody that... Let me give this example. You may be a motorcycle mechanic. But your boss can trust you to do whatever you can do. But he can trust you because you'll come to a point when you don't know what to do. Instead of fake it and lie about it, you can go to him and say, how do you do this? Does everybody understand? That's integrity. I don't care if it's building houses. I don't care if it's in ministry. I don't care what it is. You don't have to promote yourself, because there's a lot of spotlighters out there. Prideful spotlighters. Trying to be somebody that they're not. Or that they haven't earned it yet. They try to get in position when God's not placed them there. And then they can't wait and they run. Or they make commitments and vows and they promote themselves in certain things and whatever. But integrity has to do with the arena of honesty. Does everybody understand that? You may not be perfect at what you do, but you are honest at what you do. And when you get to a place where you can't do it, you don't try to mingle it, you know, or hotwire it, or whatever. you do it correctly. And if you don't know what to do, then you ask. That's integrity. Does everybody understand that? Then your boss or whoever it is can trust you, because they know that you're not going to go and blow up a house by mistake. Or that you're not going to put the back wheel on the front wheel. Or whatever. They can trust you. That's integrity. Doesn't mean you're perfect, but it means that you are honest. Honest. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 41. Oh, hallelujah. Testing your trust. He's testing your integrity. We may have testing your trust 3 if we keep doing this. Hallelujah. Psalm 41. God is looking for children of integrity, men and women of integrity, not sneaky. Integrity. People you can trust, people that are honest. When they say they're going to do something or be there, they're going to. Psalm 41 and verse something. Let's start at verse 10. But you, O Lord, be merciful to me and raise me up. Hallelujah. That I may what? Repay them. By this I know that you are well pleased with me, because my enemies do not triumph over me. Let me tell you something. When you walk upright and in integrity, your enemies will not overcome you. By this I know that you are well pleased with me, because my enemy does not triumph over me. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity and set me before your face forever. He's always looking towards the Lord. Not losing focus. Go to Luke 16. You know what else is very powerful? By walking upright in the integrity, you are keeping God's presence. You are keeping God's presence. See, without God's presence, you can't bear fruit. Has everybody got it? Without God's presence, you can't bear good fruit. You have rotten fruit. Luke 16. Did I tell you where to go yet? Luke 16. Oh, hallelujah. God is looking for men and women of integrity, those he can trust and that are honest. And let's just go to verse 10. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is what? Unjust also in much. Ooh. So if you're not faithful in the little bit, you are unfaithful with the big. You know, so many people are going, oh Lord, just bless me with this, man. You can trust me. Yes, I need this. I mean, come on, man. You said, Lord, you meet all of my needs according to your riches of glory and far above all I can ever ask or think. Yes, Lord, you know that. Yeah, I'm challenging you with your word, and he's challenging you with integrity. Because he says, if you do this, then I'll do that. Words. Trust is a key factor. Don't assume, ask. Don't give out what doesn't belong to you or say something you can't do. He was faithful with a little. He'll be faithful with a lot. Who is unfaithful or unjust with a little will be unjust with a lot. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Oh, hallelujah. Okie dokie. First Chronicles chapter 29. Glory to God. Is everybody all right? Glory to God. He's good. I know some of you really want to get home to that popcorn. Yeah. Since your flesh has been cooking, you need to replace it. First Chronicles 29 and 17. Would you read it with me? I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. A man of integrity is willingly. He is willing. You know what I'm saying? If you got to force someone to do something all the time, man, if you got to try to convince someone to tithe, no integrity. No integrity. You've got to convince someone all the time. Things should be done willingly because there's love. There's love. There's love between you and God. And so if there's love between you and God, you'll want to fellowship. You'll want to come into God's presence. You'll want to serve. These things is what you want. You'll want to expand the kingdom of God and not build your own empire. These are things that you want. That's individuals of integrity. That's why Jesus said, here's a sample of integrity. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Those are three shortcuts of integrity. Amen? Three shortcuts of integrity. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Good decisions are made by those of integrity. They are not liars, users, manipulators, self-promoters, prideful. They look out for others before self, and they keep their word. Jeremiah 7. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 23. Is everybody there? Okay. Jeremiah. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 7:23. Would you read it with me? But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I'll be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but they followed the counsels and dictates of their evil hearts and went backward and not forward. So if you're going backward, something ain't right. Now, backwards doesn't mean being still. Does everybody understand that? It means you're going back to the same old things you used to do. You find those same character traits popping up, something's not right. You find those same lusts and those same other things popping up, something's not right. You're going backwards and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt, which is bondage, until this day I have even sent to you all of my servants. You know that pastor that teaches every Tuesday night, you know, you remember him? The prophets, and daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they did not obey me or incline their ear from the Bible studies, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not obey you. You shall also call to them, but they will not answer you. Oh, hallelujah. Jeremiah. You know, many people are walk in fear. And the arena even obey. Many people can't trust God because they walk in so much fear. Now, fear will defile integrity. Is everybody with me? Fear will defile integrity. There is fear of letting things go. People have associated with past relationships, whether it be male or female, that are hindering them or whatever it is. You know, some people are just afraid of letting go. Whether it be jobs, some people were talented with certain things and they're afraid of letting certain things go because God is trying to bring them to another place. But those things affect an integrity of an individual. Fear will defile an individual's integrity. It will disqualify them. It always does. Is everybody with me? You know, I want to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. I want to do this very quickly because we're basically out of time. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. I want to talk to you about a man, King Hezekiah. A very, very powerful man of integrity. I mean, we all know Jesus was the most integrity individual on this planet. I wanted to talk about this man, Hezekiah. 2 Chronicles 29. Is everybody all right? We're almost done. Hang in there. Keep your integrity. In verse 1, would you read it with me? Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abla, a daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. So he did something that was right. I want to share with you a couple of things that he had done what was right. The first thing he did was cleanse out the temple when he became king. And verse 3 through whatever talks about him cleansing out the temple, bringing the old things out. And one of the things that God wants is an individual that walks uprightly. One of the things that he wants to do is to cleanse out your temple. Amen? And that's the thing that you and I must continually do is keep our temple cleansed. So the first thing that he began to do is cleanse out the temple. And what he did is begin to replace and establish worship. He began to restore worship. See, when the temple is cleansed, the desire to worship is there. Now, he was talking about the temple that was being restored there when they came back into their land. So Hezekiah was a king, and he was restoring all things now. He was bringing back in the furnitures and everything. He cleansed out the temple of all the garbage and all the rubbish and whatever, cleaning it all up. One of the first things he began to do is restore worship. Begin to restore worship. And that's in 2 Chronicles 30. Turn there for a second. And in verse 18, it says, for a multitude of people, many from Ephraim and so forth, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet they ate the Passover contrary to what was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, May the good Lord provide atonement for everyone who prepares his heart. Who what? Prepares his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he is not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord listened to Hezekiah and healed the people. Why? Because the temple was cleansed. They restored worship. And they restored the feast of the Lord. And those were the things that were honoring to the Lord. So the sacrifices came back into place and everything else. And God began to honor that. And he began to heal his people. Is everybody with me? He restored the holy feast. He began to restore the holy things of the Lord. Go to chapter 31. Oh, hallelujah. Now when all of this was finished, all Israel who were present went out of the cities of Judah and broke the sacred pillars in pieces and cut down the wooden images and threw down the high places and altars and all the stuff that was. They went up, not only did they cleanse the temple, then they went into all the high places. They pulled down and tore down all the things that were pagan rituals. See, they couldn't go out. They couldn't go anywhere until the temple was cleansed first, till worship was restored, till the holy things were restored, till integrity was restored in the temple. Then they could go out and witness. So everybody got it? And then they began to pull down the strongholds and so forth. Hezekiah was a man putting things in order. Many individuals are out of order. When an individual is out of order, integrity is not established. Three character traits of integrity. I want to share them with you. The first one is honesty. And that means, what is the true motive? Honesty. The second one is submissiveness. To be submissive to his call, those of authority. In other words, you're submitting to God's authority. Amen? And not only submitting to God's authority, but submitting to God. You are the same behind closed doors as you are out the door. Honesty, submissiveness, and faithful. Faithful, not only as stewards, but in committed vows and purposes of his will. Faithful at whatever you say. Faithful. Amen. So the first one is honesty. The second one is submissiveness. And the third one is faithful or faithfulness. Three character traits of integrity. And God will test your integrity because he's testing your trust. Amen. And I want to close at James 1. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I won't go as long as my wife did. She's got the record. I'm not trying to beat it. Hallelujah. James chapter 1 and verse 21. Would you read it with me, please? And we'll close here. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does, and he will maintain integrity, won't he? If anyone among you thinks that he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Amen. Become men and women of integrity with honesty, submissiveness, and faithfulness. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. And we are honored and blessed, Lord. We repent in the areas of where we've fallen short of integrity. But we ask that you will sharpen us up, clean us up, purify us, and quicken us, Lord. Lord, I apply the blood of Jesus on every righteous seed that was planted here tonight, that it would grow and bear fruit for your glory. Lord, let conviction, correction, and position be manifested through your teaching. And to you be all the glory. In Jesus' name.